We're on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and we're about halfway, a little bit past halfway through the Amud, and you'll see a line that starts Balayla, and if you move towards the left, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Hani Anoni De Tzafra, we're talking about the clouds during the morning hours, Lesbeu Mashasha. They don't have any substance to them. And therefore you cannot rely upon them to produce rain. Tchsiv, Pasuk in Hosea, V'chazdechem ka'anan boker, what I can do for you, Ephraim, what can I do for you, Judah, when your cardness is like a morning cloud. It comes and goes, and it's not steady. Omalei Rav Popola Abaye, Hoti Amri Inshi, there's an idiomatic phrase that's common, Kad miftach bebei mitra. If you open the door in the morning and you see that it's raining, Bar Chamra, those people who ride the donkeys, these are the donkey riders, the drivers, and they transport food from place to place to sleep. Moch Sakoch, fold up your sack, Ugne, and go back to sleep. In other words, if there's rain in the morning, then there's going to be plenty of Tvua, and you won't find too much interest in, you know, when the market is simply flooded with chitim because there's so much chitim being produced by the rains, then who's going to pay your price? You'll have to lower your price because the supply is so great. And with this Ribui Geshem, if it's going to start in the morning and continue throughout the day, there'll be such an abundance of grains that the drivers will not really get much profit, and therefore they might as well go back to sleep. So we see a stira to what we saw in Rav Shmuel, that Anoni Tzafra Lesbe Mashosha, that's not really true, because the rains in the morning are going to be responsible for a generous produce. Lokasha hadakata bi'iva hadakata ba'anoni. When the people are used to saying that the morning rains are very beneficial and let the drivers go back to sleep, that's talking about a case of katar eva, which means the sky was overcast with thick clouds. And if there are thick clouds, then we could assume that they'll produce an abundant amount of rains. Let the drivers go back to sleep because the price is going to drop. However, there's something called Katar Ba'anoni, which means that the sky is overcast with thin clouds, and those are the rains about which Shmuel said, Ein bo mamish, because the clouds in the sky are very insubstantial. Omer Rabbi Alexandri, Omer Rabbi Shumel Levi, Lo Nivru Ra'amim Ela Lifshot Akmumis Shebalev. Thunder has a moral lesson, and it's meant to communicate to us that we should straighten the crookedness in our hearts, as we said in the last shiur. And this is based on a pasuk shenemar in Yechezkel, Kemara Hakeshes Asher Yeh Va'anon. And we're talking about the just 1 second. No. The pasuk here is Velokim. I'm sorry, a pasuk in Koheles, Velokim Asa Sheyiru Milafanov. And God has acted so that man should stand in awe of him. So these Ra'amim, this thunder, is meant to instill in a person a fear of God. V'yom Rav Alexandri, Om Rav Shem Belev HaRoas HaKeshes Pa'anon, one who sees a rainbow in the clouds, Tzarech Sheyipol Alpanov, he should prostrate himself on his face. As it says, Apostle Yechezkel, Shenemar Kimara Hakesh Sayyiv Va'anon, B'yom ha-geshem, kein mara ha-noga saviv fine, t'mus kvar, v'era v'epal al-ponai, v'eshma kol medaber. And the pasuk says, when I saw the brilliance of the rainbow as it appeared in the sky, I fell upon my face. Layat Allah b'marava, this practice was cursed by the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. They did not accept this practice. And that's going to be based on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I mean, the practice of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Mishum, if a person falls on his face when he sees the rainbow, michse keman desagi lekashta, it appears as if he's worshipping the rainbow. And even Bnei Eretz Yisrael were makpid that if a person, even though they were makpid that if a person sees a rainbow, he should fall, aval bruche vaday mevarech. So if he was makpid that he shouldn't fall on his face because it might look like he's bowing down to the rainbow, but for sure he should recite the bracha. And that's the famous bracha on the rainbow, which the Gemara now formulates, my mevarech baruch zocher habris. Blessed is God that he took a shvua and a covenant commitment to Noach after the mabul that he would not destroy the world. And he's zocher habris. The Marsha points out, Ratzalomar, sha'af shanofel upon of nirake choshev shakeshes ishchina atzma, even though bowing is prohibited because as if to say the rainbow is identified as the Shekhinah, but Mavarech, if he's making the bracha, Eino nirake choshev shakeshes hu ashchina atzma. That's why the Gemara goes ahead and asks, my Mavarech. B'masnisa tana, we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Brokomer, Neman bebriso, the bracha should say, when he sees a rainbow, Neman bebriso v'kayam b'mamoro. We can rely upon his bris, and he will implement, he will remain kayam, he would remain loyal and dependable. He fulfills his word with regard to his promise. Omer HaPapa Hilkach Nemrinu L'Chavayu. He should recite both Nuschos. He should say Baruch Zohar Bris V'Nemen B'Briso V'Kayom B'Mamoro. Now the Pasuk in Bereishis says V'Nirasa HaKeshes Ba'anan V'Zachartis Brisi. It means that Riyas HaKeshes reminds Hashem of the Bris. And therefore, Hashem doesn't need any, although of course Hashem doesn't need anything to remind him of the bris, but he shows and demonstrates to the world this rainbow. And Rabu Arishoyim Vayroi Lahachris Olam Rak Machma Shenishba Shelo Yachris Olam Eino Machav. So despite the abundance of evildoers in the world, and the world maybe destroys destruction, but God will not destroy the world because of his oath, because of his bris, his commitment. Now, the bris is called in this bracha kayom b'mamoro, because the pasuk says in Bereishis Tes Vayomer Elokim zos os bris asher ani nosem. So therefore we add the words v'kayom b'mamoro to say that even if he had not taken the shvua, if he had just made a statement that he wouldn't destroy the world, God would not violate his dibur and destroy the world. How much more so if there's a bris? So there's a zocher bris and kayim b'mamoro, the mamor, even without a bris, God is certainly reliable to fulfill that. Now the Mishnah back on Daf Nun Daled established al ahorim v'al gvos v'al yomim v'al nahoros v'al midbarios Omer Baruch Ose Maise Bracious. So the Gemara now asks the following question. Atu Kolhani De'amoron Ad Hashta. And what about everything that we said until now? We spoke about lightning and thunder and earthquakes. and we spoke about tempest winds and brachim and zikin and zoos. What's with all of those? Shouldn't we make a bracha of kocho grosso mole olam? I'm sorry, we make the bracha of kocho grosso mole olam, whereas on harem and gvos we make the bracha baruch osem ayse bereishis. So why don't we make the bracha on the thunder and the lightning, baruch osem ayse bereishis? Lav ma'aseh breishis ninu? Are these not included under ma'aseh breishis? Baksiv. The pasuk says in Yirmiyah brakim la'motar asa. It means that God created these just 1 second here. I lost my place here for a second. He made the lightning bolts for rain. He made and brakim la'motar asa. Oh, so the more answers on Rabbaye. Just 1 second. There are two psukim here. It says brakim la'motar asa, which means Hashem made the earth with His might. He established the world with His wisdom. Oh, here's the second. He says He made lightning bolts for the rain and brings forth wind from His treasuries. So you see that according to this pasuk, wind and lightning are amongst the things that God made in the earth. So why don't they justify the bracha of Osamai Sabresh Samrabai Kroch Utni? You should not read the Mishnah in two sections, but rather you should sort of integrate them. And the Mishnah is meant to teach us that both blessings should be recited. According to this pshat in the Shita Megubetzes, Abai holds that you should divide up the brachos into two categories. Each category has its enumerated list, and each category gets its own bracha. But Rashi says just the opposite. Kroch v'tani, it's about 5 lines up from the bottom of the Omud. He says, "Bekule baruch osem ayses ubaruch shekocho moli olam kroch v'tani." So you should combine both brachas into one. That's Abai. Rava Amar, Rava says, Hasam, in the first half of the Mishnah, which is Zikin and Zoos and Ra'amim and Ruchos and Brachim, all those Mevarech, Tarte. But Baruch Shekocho, right? Mevarech Tarte means Baruch Shekocho Molion, the Osa Maise Bracious. And that seems to indicate that both blessings are recited, and I think he means that they combine them into one bracha. But here in the last category of harim ugvos, etc., then osamai spaces ika bakocho moli olam lecha. You can't make the second bracha of kocho mole olam. Just one bracha, osam ayseh breishis. Why she'enam nimtzayim b'chol makom el kol echad v'echad bimkomo. So it's not mole olam, but this happens here and this happens here. Here you'll see harim b'gvos. Here you won't see any harim b'gvos. Each one has its own location. But it's not Mamalia Sa'olam. Brachim, on the other hand, is Nira Lemerchak. Ra'amim Nishmoim Lemerchak. So those thunder and lightning that you can see and hear from a great distance, and therefore it's Mole Olam. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Haroa Rakia Betaharasa. If he sees the sky in its Tzlilut, in its clarity, and there's no clouds to block out the view of the sky, is Omer Baruch Osem Maisa Bracious. And he says here, Shekach Nivra Rakia Virak Acharkach Kiso Bi Ha'ovim. So if you're talking about the original creation, the Rakia, that's the way it was created. The Anonim came later. Once again, we're going to have to assume that he hasn't seen the Rakia in such clarity for about 30 days. Ein Masai, so Gemara says, when exactly do we make this bracham? Rabaye ki osam mitra kuli laila. If it rained the entire night, ubik safra osa istina, in the boker, he saw a northern wind that completely scattered the clouds, umagayilu shamayim, and he sees the shamayim. That's called a roa rakia bitarasa. So in such a case, he makes the bracha osa maisa gracious. So in other words, bir abaye she'enu mevarach el k'sheneschadsha tara sarakia she'konim l'chein lohay b'tarasa she'yorad matar b'layla. So when you get to a situation where it's raining at night, it's really raining heavily the entire night, and then with daybreak in the morning, the northern wind came and revealed the heavens. Then he says, Osa Maisa Bracious. The sky, when it remains cloudless for days or weeks, the Gemara doesn't suggest that he recites his bracha every time he sees it, but as we said earlier, it means every 30 days. Now, Abai explains that the bracha of Osa Maisa Bracious is appropriate when the sky is renewed. In other words, it was overcast and then it was cleansed of all its clouds. Not only that, but the sky must be left cloudless in the morning when its brilliance is most marked. And it's the northern wind that typically blows from midnight until daybreak. The Gemara says, Upligi De Rafram Bar Papa. Second. And they dispute the view of Rafram Bar Papa in the name of Rav Chizda. Omer Rav Papa, Rav Rafram Bar Papa, Omer Rav Chizda. Miyom Shechar Beis Amigdash Ol Nireis Rakia B'Tarasa. So that's where Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi speaks about Roa B'Kia B'Tarasa. It doesn't exist. Since the temple was destroyed, the sky has not been seen in this clarity. This is the cosmic impact of Churban Abayis. Shenemar, Albish Shamayim, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Albish Shamayim Kedrus, Visak Osim Ksusam. I clothe the heavens in blackness and make the sackcloth their garment. Kloma, what does this mean? Sheyu ha-shamayim mechusim v'lo yirek b'tarasam. So it seems like from this pasuk that there will not be a possibility of seeing the sky in all its clarity. Rabbi Shimon Levin Abaye, who said that that you can see the Riya Shamayim b'tarasam, they certainly would reject Rav Chizda. Fine. So the question is, if you reject Rav Chizda, then what do you do with this pasuk al bishamayim? That's not clear to me. And at this point, we're going to turn to daf nuntes amid beis. Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa says haroa chama bitkufasa, and we're talking about the sun at the beginning of its cycle. And here we have a lot to talk about. This is the turning point of the sun. Then we have Levana Bigvurasa, the moon in its mightiness. And then we have Mazolos Kisidram, the signs of the zodiac in their order. Omer Baruch Oseb Rashis. Then the Gemara is going to go on to say, Amos Havi, when is the sun at the beginning of its cycle? Amar Abai called Esrim Mushmona Shonim. Okay, so we have to see that. But in any event, Haroah Chama B'Tkufasa, the beginning of its cycle, and we said that's a turning point. He sees the sun when it turns to the position in the heavens which it occupied at the time of the sun's original creation. However, the blessing one makes on this occasion, known as Birchas HaChama, is not recited on every such occasion. The sun returns to its original position once each year. Birchas HaChama, however, is recited only when the sun returns to its original position, and that takes place on the same day of the week, at the same hour of the day as the original creation. And the original positioning of the sun and the moon took place at the beginning of the fourth day of the week. So the Gemara is going to explain that the sun was created in the position which it occupies at the time of Tekufas Nisan. That's the Nisan turning point, also known as the vernal or spring equinox. Accordingly, Birchas HaChama is recited when the vernal equinox, as calculated by the Jewish calendar, occurs at the beginning of the fourth day of the week at 6 p.m. on Tuesday evening. The vernal equinox takes place on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. once every 28 years. So since the sun is not visible in all places at that hour, the Chazal ordain that the blessing be recited the next morning. Now the sun, in its apparent motion around the earth, we know that has four turning points, or tekufos, during the course of the year. And these correspond to the longest and shortest days of the year, known as the solstices, and the 2 days each year when the length of the day and night are equal, which is called the equinox. At the beginning of the spring and autumn, meaning at their equinoxes, the sun rises and sets at the equinoctial points, and then crosses the equator, rising and setting the next day on the opposite side of the equator from where it had risen and set before the equinox. And for this reason, it is spoken of as the turning point from one side of the equator to the other side. The path of the sun continues moving north or south each day, and that depends on the season, until the sun reaches its maximum distance or declination from the equator at the time of the solstice. So the solstice means that's when the sun is most distant from the equator. The sun is at its maximum distance to the north of the equator at the time of the summer solstice, and its maximum distance to the south at the time of the winter solstice. At that point, instead of increasing its declination and traveling yet further away from the earth's equator, the path of the sun turns backwards towards the equator and progressively decreases its declination as it approaches the equator. Rabbeinu Hananel has a second explanation of HaChama B'Tkufasa based on Yerushalmi. But this has nothing to do with the solar cycles as we know them. Rather, according to this interpretation, a blessing is required when the sun reappears after three overcast days in the winter. Now, we spoke about Levana B'Gvurasa, the moon in its mightiness. And again, this has nothing to do with Kiddush Levana, the sanctification of the new moon, which takes place towards the beginning of every month, but rather the source for that practice is in Sanhedrin Mem Beis. But this brisa is discussing a certain astronomical event involving the moon, and upon witnessing the event, one says the blessing Osa Maisa Bracious. The Rambam in Hilchas Brachos, and this is also codified by the Shulchan Aruch, explains that Levana B'Gvurasa V'Kochavim B'Mesilosam refers to when the moon returns to Mazal Tle at the beginning of the month, and does not incline neither to the north nor to the south. Similarly, when one of the five visible planets, like Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and the planet, right, the planets Uranus and Neptune and Pluto are not visible to the naked eye, so therefore they're not relevant to this discussion, returns to the beginning of Mazal Tleh and does not incline either to the north or to the south. Now when it says here Umazolos Kisidrom, and we translated that as the signs of the zodiac in their order, this is a reference to stars encompassed within a stretch of the sky that's 16 degrees wide, which sweeps across the heaven, and in its journey yearly across the sky, the sun travels on a path that runs through the middle of this band of stars. This band, which circles the earth, is divided into 12 sectors of 30 degrees each. Each sector is given a name according to the perceived shape of the configuration of the stars in that section of the sky. This zone of the heaven is known in the vernacular as the zodiac. The names associated to each of these 12 sectors of the heaven are Tleh Aries, Shor Taurus, Ta'omim Gemini, Sartan Cancer, Arye Leo, Besula Virgo, Maznaim Libra, Akrov Scorpio, Keshes Sagittarius, Gedi Capricorn, Dli Aquarius, and Dogim Pisces. Six of these are north of the celestial equator. Six are south of the celestial equator. The northernmost is 23.5 degrees north of the equator, and at that point where the ecliptic passes through the constellation, the southernmost is correspondingly 23.5 degrees south of the equator. The sun does not rise in the same portion of the eastern sky each day. From Nisan until Tammuz, the sun moves in a northerly direction, rising each day a bit further to the north. From Tammuz until Tishrei, the sun returns to the midpoint between north and south. From Tishrei on, it begins to rise a bit more to the south each day. It is for this reason that half of the constellations are located below the celestial equator. As seen from the earth, the sun appears to have two motions, the first being its daily rotation around the earth, a motion the sun shares with all heavenly bodies, the second being the sun's yearly path around the earth. Now, these correspond in the heliocentric system to the Earth's daily revolution around its axis and its yearly orbit around the sun. Now, this second motion results in the sun appearing to rise each day in a slightly different position with respect to the background stars. Since the sun's yearly path around the Earth takes 365.25 days, while the band of the zodiac is a circle, which is 360 degrees, the sun moves approximately 1 degree eastward each day along its path through the zodiac. It means that the sun rises approximately 1 degree eastward each day with respect to the stars that appear on the eastern horizon at that sunrise. For this reason, the sun rises at the beginning of the Mazal, the constellation of Tleh, which is called Aries, at the time of the spring equinox, and the beginning of Mazal Sartan Cancer at the time of the autumnal equinox. The moon makes a similar yearly rotation around the earth, aside from its monthly one, with the full moon, for example, appearing against a different background of stars each month. This is the result of the moon moving with the earth in its yearly orbit. Each Mazal, each constellation, reigns for 1 month, i.e. it rises on the eastern horizon at sunrise throughout that month. In reality, one cannot see this happening, for the light of the rising sun obliterates the starlight. But this phenomenon is calculated by observing how long before sunrise the previous Mazal rose. Since the sun moves approximately 1 degree each day with respect to the stars, sunrise takes place at a different point in that constellation each day. Since each constellation is 30 degrees across, midway through the month, the sun rises in the middle of the constellation. Thus, midway through the month, the constellation begins rising 1 hour before sunrise, so that sunrise occurs in the middle of that constellation. On the last day of the month, almost the entire constellation has risen before the sun, and sunrise coincides with the rise of the very last part of the constellation. On the next day, the entire constellation of the previous month has risen before sunrise, and the sun now rises at the very beginning of the next constellation. Similarly, the moon and the planets rise each night at different points under various mazalos. Each moves through the sky during the course of the year in accordance with its own orbit and fixed rate of speed. Now, the Bryce's blessing is recited when the moon returns to the beginning of Mazal Tler at the beginning of the month, inclining near to the north, nor to the south. Now, the new moon aligns precisely with the beginning of the Mazal Tler, and rather at a point north or south of it. And Reb Chaim Kanevsky has a preface to his Beraisa de Mazalos. Now, the blessing on the planets is similarly recited when any of the planets returns to the beginning of Mazal Tler, inclining neither to the north nor the south. So this phrase of Mazalos Kisidrom is defined by the Rambam as the occasion in which one sees Mazal Tler rising due east. The Rambam his meaning is a little bit unclear, because in ancient times Mazal Tler always rose due east. Now, although Birchas Hacham is recited in every generation in Jewish communities throughout the world, it is not our custom to recite the blessing pertaining to the moon or to the planets or to the signs of the zodiac. And a number of reasons have been advanced in explanation of our failure to pronounce the blessing on the latter occasions. According to one opinion, and many agree with that opinion, maintain that we did not pronounce the blessing on such occasions for the simple reason that only a skilled astronomer is able to make the appropriate calculations. And all of these require the bracha Baruch Oseh Bereishis, you who makes the work of creation. Now, with regard to Birchas Hachama, the Chasam Sofer presents a lengthy service. He records that on Wednesday morning, the 7th of Nisan, in the year 5573, which is the equivalent of 1813, he and his community recited the following service together in Presburg, all from Psalms number 148, Praise Hashem from the Heavens. The blessing: blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who makes the work of creation. Kel Adon, Psalm number 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, Olenu, and then Kaddish. And this is all in the Tshuvas, Chasam Sofer, for Or HaChaim, Siman Nun Vav. Okay. Now, the Birchas Hachama usually comes, I would say, if I'm not mistaken, every 30 years or so. Now, V'emas Havi, when does it happen that the sun is at the beginning of the cycle? Omer Abaye, Kol Esrim U'shmona Shnin V'hoder Machzor, every 28 years the major solar cycle begins again. V'nofla tkufas Nisan b'shabtai, and the Nisan equinox falls in the hour of Saturn. Now, Abaye is making reference to premises underlying the solar calendar. Number one, he bases himself on Shmuel's dictum in Masechta Erevin, Nun Vav. Shmuel said, Tkufas Nisan, the vernal equinox, occurs only at the beginning of one of the four quarters of the day, either at the beginning of the day, or at the beginning of the night, or at midday, or at midnight. the duration of a season of the year, i.e. spring, summer, autumn, and winter, is no longer than 91 days and 7.5 hours. Shmuel reckons the solar year as having 365.25 days, divided to 4 seasons of equal length, taking Tkufas Nisan as the starting point, and assuming, as Abai states explicitly, that the first Tkufa of Nisan occurred at the beginning of the night, i.e. at 6 p.m. The next Tkufa must occur 91 days and 7.5 hours later. So it means that 6 p.m. marks the beginning of the night at Tkufas Nisan, since at that time the equinox, day and night are of equal duration. 91 days equal 13 weeks exactly. Thus, if Tkufas Nisan occurs at 6 p.m., the next Tkufa, Tkufas Tammuz, which marks the summer solstice, must occur on the same day of the week as the first Tkufa, will occur 7.5 hours later in the day at 1:30 a.m. The following Tkufa, which marks the autumn equinox, Tkufas Tishrei, will occur another 7.5 hours later in the day at 9 a.m. The final Tkufa, Tkufas Teves, which marks the winter solstice, will occur yet another 7.5 hours later in the day at 4:30 p.m. Following occurrence of Tkufas Nisan, which begins the second year of the cycle, will of necessity occur 7.5 later than the previous Tkufas Teves, and that will be at 12 midnight of the next day of the week. And if you follow this pattern, then in the third year Tkufas Nisan occurs at 6 a.m., in the fourth year at 12 noon, in the fifth year Tkufas Nisan again occurs at 6 p.m. as it did in the first year, and thus the entire cycle is repeated every 4 years. Now, if we examine these times, it's apparent that Tkufas Nisan occurs only at 6 p.m., 12 midnight, 6 a.m., and 12 noon, or as Shmuel put it, only at the beginning of one of the 4 quarters of the day, either at the beginning of the day, 6 a.m., the beginning of the night, 6 p.m., or at midday or at midnight. It is therefore evident that Tkufas Nisan can occur at one of 4 hours of the day. But its advent will be at the same hour as its original occurrence, only after completing a 4-year cycle. The Tkufa, when it recurs at its original time in the 5th year, will not recur on the day of the week on which it occurred the first year, since each Tkufa advances 7.5 hours in the course of 4 Tkufas of the year. The Tkufa advances by 30 hours. Thus, any given Tkufa will recur the following year, precisely 1 day and 6 hours later in the week. After 4 years, the Tkufa will recur exactly 5 days later in the week, because you multiply 4 times 1.25, and you get 5. Therefore, if, for example, Tkufas Nisan occurs on a Wednesday in the first year of the first cycle, it will of necessity occur on a Monday in the first year of the second cycle, which would mean 5 days later. Following this pattern, Tkufas Nisan will occur on Saturday in the first year of the third cycle, on Thursday in the first year of the fourth cycle, on Tuesday in the fifth cycle, on Sunday in the sixth cycle, and on Friday in the seventh. Now, although Tkufas Nisan recurs at the same hour, namely 6 p.m. at the beginning of each of the 4 cycles, it does not occur on the same day of the week. Only after completion of 7 4-year cycles, that is, after 28 years, at the beginning of the 8th cycle, will Tkufas Nisan again occur at 6 p.m. on the same day of the week as its very first occurrence. The Gemara says, Bi'urta detlas nahagi arba, on the evening of Tuesday, which is the night before Wednesday. And again, there are other issues that we haven't even touched upon, but this is a little bit of a taste of some of the astronomy. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haroa Hayom, somebody sees the great sea, he should make the blessing, blessed are you who made the great sea. And the Gemara inquires, Leprakim ad kama. When Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to make the blessing, he means occasionally, and it cannot be recited more often. How long was would it be that when from last time you made the bracha until this time you made the bracha? Omar Rami Bar Abba, Omar Rav Yitzchak, Ad Shloshim Yom. So within 30 days, if you see the Yom HaGadol, you don't make this bracha. After 30 days, you make the bracha again. The Omar Rami Bar Chama Rav Yitzchak, Haroa, Pras, Agishra de Bovel. He sees the Euphrates River upon the bridge of Babylon. Omer Baruch Oseh Bereishis, who makes the work of creation. Now, before we discuss this Euphrates River, let's just ask, to which body of water is the Mishnah referring to when it says the Great Sea? And this question was referred to the Rosh. And in a tshuva he writes that although in Tanakh, whether it's in Chumash, and you say for Yeshua and Yechezkel, it would seem that the Mishnah is referring to the Oceanus, which is a term used to describe the vast water that encircles the globe. The Atlantic Ocean is certainly included in Oceanus, as well as some of the Earth's other oceans. However, despite this responsum, which is quoted by the Tur of Yosef Karin, the Shulchan Aruch says that the Great Sea is the one that traverses and going from Eretz Yisrael to Egypt, which means the Mediterranean. So that according to Rav Yosef Cairo, and perhaps he had a different version of the response of the Rosh, I don't know, it would be the Mediterranean, and only the Mediterranean. The Shulchan Aruch actually points out that Rav Yehuda refers to the Great Sea again in Mikvos in the 5th chapter, and there it refers to the Oceanus. The Aruch HaShulchan is inclined to rule in accordance with the Shulchan Aruch. The Emes LeYaakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, says that when we analyze the Rosh, perhaps Rav Yosef Kai would agree that the Oceanus is the Great Sea, but he holds that all seas connected to it, such as the Mediterranean, are deemed as part of that Great Oceanus. And the only seas that are excluded are those that are landlocked, such as the Dead Sea or the Caspian Sea. And some say if you go up to the top of Gibraltar, you will definitely see the Yam HaGadol there, where the great oceans of the world meet. In any event, the Gemara says that Va'idna deshinuya parsoi, now that the Persians have changed the course of the Euphrates in that area, mi beish avar li'el, one may recite the blessing only on that segment of the river that lies from the Shavar area and upstream. Rav Yosef Omar, mi ihi dikira udiliel, from ihi dikira and upstream. So the Persians altered the course of the Euphrates upstream of the bridge of Babylon. One may not recite the blessing who makes the work of creation at that spot anymore. Rather, according to Rav Yosef, one must go further upstream to a region alongside the Euphrates known as Ihi Dekira, and from there beyond he can make the blessing. The Omar Rami Bar Chama Haroa Diglas Agirsha De Shabistana, one who sees the Tigris River upon the Shabistana Bridge, Omer, Baruch, Oseh, Bereishis, blessed are you who makes the work of creation. The Tigris River is referred to in Sefer Bereishis as the Chidekel. My Chidekel, what is the meaning of the name Chidekel? Omer of Ashi, Shememov, Chadim, Vekalin. The waters are sharp, that's called chadin, and light, kalin. So chidekel is a combination of two words, chad and kal, sharp. Maybe referred to the taste of the water. Light indicates the waters did not contain heavy sediment or particles, nor do they cause a feeling of heaviness in those that drink them, ayin rashi. The Gemara explains the name Pras, which is the Euphrates. What is the meaning of the name Pras? Shememov, parim v'ravin. The waters are fruitful and multiply. So the volume of its water increases even without rain. Now, with regard to the Tigris, which we called Chidekel, Omar Rava, Hai de Charifi b'nei Mechoza, the reason the residents of Mechoza are so sharp is Mishum de Shosu Mayim de Riglas, they drink the water of the Tigras of Chidekel, Hai de Gichore, and the reason they are ruddy in their appearance is Mishum de Mishamshe b'yamama, because they engage in marital relations during the day. And children that are born from such unions resemble the redness of the day. The reason why their eyes wander to and fro is mishum didairu bebeis avel, they live in dark homes. So this is a description of the people in Mechoza, which is Rava's city. Now al geshamim, on rains and hearing good tidings, one should bless Hashem, Baruch Atov HaMeitiv, blessed are you who is good and does good. The Gemara questions whether this is an appropriate blessing over rain. And this is based on a somewhat of a lengthy discussion which it cites. And that discussion appears in Masechta Tainis. V'al HaGeshamim HaTov HaMeitiv, Mevarech, is it true that one makes Hatov HaMeitiv on Geshomim, V'omer Rabbi Avohu, V'amri Levi Masnisa, Tonon Sadeh Seh, was taught in a Braisa, Memesai Mevarech on Al Geshomim, Mishayetzei Chosin Lekras Kala, after the groom goes out to meet the bride. So it means that the drops on the ground extend towards the drops of rain that continue to fall. When a drop of rain falls into a puddle that is already formed on the ground, some drops are displaced upward. Maimav Archinon, what is the text of the blessing? Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Moda Nachnu Loch, I'll call Tipa V'Tipa Shoyrata Tolano, and every drop that you've brought down for us. Rabbi Yochanan Messiah Bahachi, he adds the conclusion of the bracha. Ilu finu mole shira kayom, if our mouths were full of song like the sea, ain't enough of us speaking lahodos Hashem alkech, we'd not thank you sufficiently, Hashem our God, ad until tishtachve, every erect spine shall prostrate itself before you. Baruch atah Hashem rov hahodos, blessed are you Hashem with most thanksgivings. Rabbi Yochanan's addition to this bracha is basically an abbreviated form of the Nishmas Tefillah that we're used to reciting during Shabbos and Yontif in the morning prayers and at the Pesach Seder. The Mishnah refers in Psachim to this prayer as Birchas Hashir. The Rif in Tainis and the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim rule that one continues the Nishmas prayer until Hein Heim Yodu Vivarchu Shimcha Malkeinu. But according to most poskim, we conclude the praise, and you just mentioned Baruch Atah Hashem, Rov Haudos. So the Gemara asks, Rov Haudos for Lokol Haudos? We're thanking Hashem and praising Him for most thanksgivings, not all thanksgiving. Omer Rava, Ema, we should change it to Kel HaHaudos, the God of thanksgivings. So the blessing should conclude Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Kel HaHodos. Omer Rav Papa, Hilkach, since there's a machlokes about what the chasim of this bracha is, therefore Nemruna L'Travaya, we should say both, Rov HaHodos for Kel HaHodos. Now there's another girsa that, Berov HaHodos, Kel HaHodos. We have something similar in Yishtabach, Kel Melech Gadol Batish Bechos Kel HaHodos. V'Elakashya. In any case, there's a difficulty here because our Mishnah says that one recites Hatova Meitiv over rain. The Amoraim mentioned here would say we thank you for every single drop. How do we reconcile the two? Lo Kashya. Ha Deshoma Mishma V'ha Dechazi Mechsei. When we say Atova Meitiv, that's when we hear from others that rain has fallen. For example, they told him that it rained the night before. In such a case, he says, Atova Meitiv. But if he sees the rain falling himself, then he should recite this entire bracha. And the Gemara now is not happy. Tishoma Mishma Hainu Besoros Tovos. If he hears that rain has fallen, that's the same as hearing good tidings. Husnan, and we said in our Mishnah, Al Besoros Tovos Omer Baruch Atova Meitiv. So therefore the Mishnah wouldn't have to mention again if you heard about rain, because that's included in the general principle of Besoros Tovos. For sure, both these words and those words are referring to someone who sees rain, velokasha. Hodi osa purta. When do we say, we thank you for Atova Meita? That's only when he saw a limited amount of rain, a little rain. But Hodi osa tuva, when he sees a great deal of rain, then he recites the longer bracha. That's how the Shita Mekubetzes interprets this Gemara. Hadiyasa Purta, Hadiyasa Tuva. Rashi has the exact opposite. Rashi thinks that if there's a little rain, that fulfills what's called the groom going out to meet the bride, where a measure of a lot of rain, that's left undefined. So according to Rashi, in the case of a little rain, which is enough for the chassan going out to the kala, then we recite the longer bracha, modim anachdu locha kol tipa sharadet olanu. On the other hand, when he sees a great deal of rain, more of a volume of rain, then he recites the bracha, baruch atov ha-meitiv. Ibois eima, the Gemara says, hova ha di asa tuva. Both blessings are recited when a lot of rain comes down. V'lo kasha ha de isle ara, ha de lesle ara. If somebody owns land, then he makes one particular bracha. If he doesn't own any land, he makes a different bracha. If he owns the land, then he recites Baruch HaTov VeHaMeitiv, because God has done good for him personally, Rashi explains. But HaDelesle Ara, he's only thanking Hashem for the entire land, not for his land. He's going to thank God for the community, and then he recites the longer version of Rabbi Yehuda here, Modim Anachdu Locha Kol Tipa V'Tipa. The Gemara is not happy with this. Isle Ara Hatova Meitiv Mevarech. If one owns land, then he should make the bracha of Hatova Meitiv. He should be reciting Shechiyonu. Vasna, we learned in the Mishnah, Bona Bais Chadosh, Kana Kelim Chadoshim, Omer Baruch Shechiyonu Kimono Lezman Hazeh. If he builds a new house, he acquires new clothes. And then it says, Shalov Shalachirim Omer Hatova Meitiv. So if rain falls on his land, he should be saying Shechiyonu, not Baruch HaTova Meitiv. Lo kasha, hod de isle shutvis, hod de lesle shutvis. The Atova Meitiv is recited over happy events in which he has a partnership. In other words, both he and others share in this benefit. But if he has no partnership, then he recites Shechiyonu v'kimonu. In other words, if let's say he is the sole beneficiary, and he doesn't have to share it with anyone, then he recites Shechiyonu v'kimonu, not Hatov HaMeitiv. Now, we had an earlier answer in the Gemara that Modim Anachnu Lach is recited by someone who doesn't own land, and Hatov HaMeitiv is recited by someone who does own land. So a person who builds a house, the Gemara says, recites Shechiyonu and not Hatov HaMeitiv. Why is that so? I mean, we just finished saying in the earlier Gemara that we recite Modim Anachnu Loch if he doesn't own his own land, but Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv if he owns his land. So if he builds a house, he should be reciting Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv. Why is he reciting Shechiyonu? So the answer has to be that Shechiyonu is reserved for someone who is the sole beneficiary of this great thing. If he shares the benefit with one or more people, the appropriate blessing is Hatov HaMeitiv. So our Mishnah teaches us that one who has built a house should say Shechiyonu. It's discussing an individual who enjoy the house by himself to the exclusion of everyone else. However, if one owns land and is a particular and is a partner in the benefit, for example, of rain, then all the landowners share in the rain bounty with him, and the appropriate blessing it becomes Hatova Meitiv. Vasanya, and here the Gemara is not asking Akasha, the Gemara is bringing a raya from a Braisa. Ktsoro Shel Dovar, the gist of the matter is that Al Shalohu Omer Baruch Shechionu V'Kimonu, Al Shalohu V'Shal Chavero Omer Baruch Hatova Meitiv. So again, if he is the sole beneficiary, for example, he built his own house, then he recites Shechionu. If, on the other hand, he shares the benefit with others, then he makes the bracha Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv. So Gemara questions this: V'chol Heicha Deles Lachrina Ba'adei. If he's the only beneficiary, is Lo Mevarach Hatov HaMeitiv? Atanya Amrula Amrule Yolda Ishtcha Zachar Omer Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv. Now in this case, he's the one who's the sole beneficiary. So why does he make Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv? Right, we said that in such a case, let him make a Shechionu. So the Gemara answers, Hasam Nami, there are other beneficiaries. The Ika Ishto, Ba'adei, the Nichole Bezochar. She's also happy that she had a male child. And therefore the bracha shifts to Hatova Meitiv. The Gemara now wants to show that there's a case of a sole beneficiary, and you still make Hatova Meitiv. Toshma, Meis Avivu Yarsho. Bitchila Omer Baruch Dayan HaEmes, Lubasofu Omer Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv. So he starts with Baruch Dayan HaEmes, but now his father left him property and he has inherited the property. He recites Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv. And yet he has a case where he's the sole beneficiary. Hosam Navi, the Gemara answers, the Ikache, there are other brothers who are also heirs, the Koyarsi Badei, they share the inheritance with him, and therefore the Baruch is Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv. Toshma, what about the case of Shinu Yayin? When he gets a wine that is superior to the first wine, then Enu Tzarch Levarech. According to this price, he doesn't make a brach, but Shinu Makom, if he changes the place, he left one house, entered another house, and then he was presented with wine, Tzarch Levarech. The Omer of Yosef Barab and Rabbi Yochanan, Afal Bishomer Shinu Yayin, Enu Tzarch Levarech, Aval Omer Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv. So it means he doesn't make the bracha over the creation of the fruit of the wine, but rather he makes the bracha Hatov HaMeitiv. And in this case, we're talking about a sole beneficiary. So why does he recite Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv? Hasam Nami Deika Bnei Chabura Deshasam Dei. He's drinking together with others, another group of people, and they're all benefiting, therefore he makes Baruch HaTov VeHaMeitiv. Now in terms of the birth of a female child, that's also a joyous occasion, it warrants the blessing of thanksgiving. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that it's obvious that the first time he sees his baby daughter, he says Shechionu. However, HaTov HaMeitiv applies where the favorable occurrence involves some material gain, for example, rain, which causes his crop to grow, or inheritance that enriches him. A son too represents a material gain, because it's the sons who have the capacity to support their parents in their old age, take care of their needs, and therefore that's considered a material gain, which justifies the bracha Hatov HaMeitiv. Now, in the case of a change of wine, the bracha is Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv, but not in the case of a change of bread. Wine is unique, it gladdens the heart, and it's very filling to the body. But a person who sits down to dine and contemplates eating more than one variety of bread, but doesn't contemplate drinking more than one variety of wine, he may say Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv on new wine, but not on a new loaf of bread. And that's the way it's paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. Now the Rush quotes a Yerushalmi that if a person bought new clothes, he should say Shechionu, but if they were given to him as a gift, he should say Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv. And the Rush comments on this Yerushalmi that this is puzzling, because our Gemara does not ask us to make the bracha of Baruch Hatov HaMeitiv unless there are at least two beneficiaries. And in the case of a clothing, an article of clothing, then clearly there's only one beneficiary. So why is it that if he got a gift of clothing, he should make Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv? And the Rush suggests that the giver of the gift benefits. If the recipient is well off, the giver is honored that the recipient accepted his offer, the gift. If the recipient is needy, the giver benefits because God has given him an opportunity to perform the mitzvah of tzedakah. And as a result, according to the Yerushalmi, he can be mevarech Baruch HaTov VeHaMeitiv. Again, in our Yerushalmi, we require two beneficiaries, and here we're going to say that the giver himself, according to Yerushalmi, is also a beneficiary, and therefore you make the Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. Bonabais Chodosh Vekonekelim Chadoshim recites Shechiyonu Omer Avhuna Lo Shana El She'en Lo Kayotze Behen. This only applies if he has no previously inherited clothes similar to these. Avli Yesh Lo Kayotze Behen Einu Tzarech Levarech. It's got to be a new kind of clothing that he acquired, something brand new that he doesn't have anything similar. Rabbi Yochan Omer Afili Yesh Lo Kayotze Behen Tzarech Levarech. He still needs to make the bracha. And because as far as owning these clothing, it's perfectly new to him. That's the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. And here we turn to Daf Samach Amud Aleph. The Gemara infers, Michlal dechikana v'chazar v'kana. It would seem that from this dispute, that if a person already bought a particular garment, then he returned and bought another similar garment, divrei hakol ein tzarech levarech. He doesn't have to make another bracha, a bracha. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan says shachiyonu because there was an element of newness in the purchase of the item, even though he already owned such an item, he had not bought one before. Whereas already bought such an item, Rabbi Yochanan would agree to Rav Huna that no Shechiyonu is recited. V'ikar di'amri, and there are those who say, Amar Rav Huna said, Lo shanu el shalo kana v'chazar v'kana, that one should say Shechiyonu upon buying new clothes only where he has not bought this kind of garment and returned to buy it again. Aval kana v'chazar v'kana ain't tzarech levarech. If one is bought and returned and bought the same or something similar, he does not recite Shechiyonu. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Kana V'Chazav Kana Tzarech Levarech. Even he has bought, and now he returned and bought the same or similar item, he should still recite the bracha of Shechiyonu. Because whenever he returns and buys such an item, he experiences a new feeling of pleasure and a new gladness of the heart. And we paskin like that shita of the Ikadami in Rabbi Yochanan. Now we had mentioned back on Daf Nun Dalid that one may say Shechiyonu even if the clothes he purchases have been used before. But here Rabbi Yochanan rules that Shechiyonu is recited even if he has already inherited or bought similar items. So what does the Mishnah mean when it teaches us that the clothes upon which one recites a blessing must be new? In the context that Mishnah knew excludes a case where he had bought a garment, sold it, and then bought the very, very same garment back. In this case, one does not say Shechiyonu because he had already owned the object, even if it had never been worn. So the Gemara says that Michlal, we can see from the second, the Lishna Basra, the Ikad Amri, that the Chiyeshlo Vakana, if he already has a garment, let's say inherited it, now he buys a similar garment, Divya called Tzarech Levarech, he has to recite Shechiyonu, because Rav Huna excluded Shechiyonu where the person had bought an item, returned and bought a similar item. However, in this case, because in that situation there's no new element. However, in this case, when he had originally inherited the item, and then we went and bought it, like Rav Huna would admit, that Shechiyonu should be recited, the second item is now a new item insofar as purchases are concerned. And the Gemara now is going to ask a kasha from a brisa, Meisvei Bona bais chadash v'ein lo kayotze bo. A person built a new house and he had never previously inherited a house that was similar to it. Kana kelim chadash v'ein lo kayotze bahen. He bought new clothes. He had not previously inherited clothes that was similar to them. Tzorech levarech. Yesh lo kayotze bahen. If he's already inherited a house or clothes similar to them, ain't tzorech levarech. The Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda Omer, Benkachu Benkach, Tzorech Levarech. In both these cases, he should recite the bracha, whether he inherited such an item or he never did, because he never bought the first item. This is the first time he's buying the item. He should say Shachiyonu when he buys the second one. Is Bishleva, this makes sense, Lelishna Kama, according to the first version of the Machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Because then we could say that this Machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan is a perfect parallel to the Machlokas Tanoim. Rav Huna ki Rabbi Meir and Rav Yochanan ki Rabbi Yehuda. Ela Lishna Basra, according to the last Lishna, we won't be able to reconcile the Amoraim with the Tanoim. Why? Because Bishleim Rav Huna ki Rabbi Yehuda, that's fine. Even according to the last version, we can work out Rav Huna with Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rav Huna says that you don't recite Shechiyonu if he's already bought a similar item. And we can say that this accords with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds exactly the same. El Rabbi Yochanan, Diomer Keman. But Rabbi Yochanan says he makes Shechiyonu on a new item, regardless of whether he had already bought such an item or not. So according to whom does he state his opinion? Lo ka Rabbi Meir, velo ka Rabbi Yehuda, not accordance with Rabbi Meir. He holds that you cannot make the bracha even if he inherited such an item. Not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, holds that he cannot make the bracha if he had already bought such an item. And Rabbi Yochanan is against both of them. Amalcha Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, Hu adin to Rabbi Yehuda, kana v'chaz v'kana nami tzorch levarach. Even if he's buying the similar item for the second time around, he does have to recite Shechiyonu. Even though we have in this machlokis in the Brisa, machlokis in the case of Yeshlo Vakana, which means he had inherited the item and then bought a similar one, that's Lo Dichacha Kochod Rav Meir. Deafilu Kana V'Yeshlo Ein Tzorch Levarech. Even where he had inherited a similar item, now he bought an item, he doesn't make the bracha. V'Kolshkein, how much more so? Kana V'Chaz Vakana Ein Tzorch Levarech. Because again, he's repeating a kinyan. And the Gemara now asks, but liflegu b'kana v'chaz v'kana, the ein tzorch levarech. Let the Brisa tell us the case where they have machlokis is where he bought and returned and bought it. And the Gemara answers, lo dichacha, and then it would be modichacha kocho de Rabbi Yehuda, to the extent of Rabbi Yehuda's bracha that he maintains that he has to recite Shechiyonu every time he buys something new. And the Gemara answers, Koch that Tera Adif. The Gemara would rather tell us the Chiddush of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is more of a Kula, of a Hetera, because he's not requiring Shechiyonu if one owns a similar item. If the Brice had presented the dispute in connection with bought and returned and bought, we would have taught the extent of Rabbi Yehuda's Chumra that Shechiyonu is required on every new purchase. The Brisa highlights Rabbi Meir's opinion because it's always preferable to teach the extent of the permissive view rather than that of the strict view. And this is where we're going to stop over here on the top of Daf Samach Amud Aleph. And it's the first of the wide lines, Mevarech Al Hara'ah.